Hello everyone and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon and I have two panelists here with me today. Welcome Lois and Ellen.
Hi, Brandon.
Great to have you here today. And I know that both of you love to play video games, right? Lois, do you like to play video games?
If my children are listening to this radio program right now, they are really laughing, okay? But I have to admit, there's a few I like.
Okay, and Ellen, do you play video games?
I don't currently play too many. I did play quite a few of them when I was younger, though.
Well, I'm the same as you, Ellen. I played video games when I was younger. I played Nintendo, and it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that a lot, but when I got older, I kind of put the video games away. Not that you have to do that. Sometimes I still play Wii. I think Wii's kind of fun. I was mentioning before we started the program, everyone, that I once bowled a 300 on the Wii sports game, and I'm pretty proud of that because that would never happen in real life.
Ellen, how many times has he mentioned that now?
Three or four.
Yes, but thankfully our listeners only have to hear that once.
But can you prove that you bowled a 300?
Well, I can't prove it now. It was several years ago. I don't know if it's still saved in on some memory card somewhere.
You're hoping, right?
I hope. I didn't take a picture, so no proof.
Oh, dear.
Anyways, video games are fun. A lot of kids, teenagers, and even adults, young adults, like to play video games of all sorts, of all kinds. Some people play on computers, some people play on entertainment systems, and so there are a lot of people out there playing video games, and there's a lot to be said about it. Some people think it's bad, some people think it's good. In this particular article, we're focusing on the positive side of video games. But Lois, I know that you have kids. Was it ever a problem where your kids played video games too much?
Well, that's the boy versus girl thing here. It wasn't a problem for our daughter at all. I know my son would agree when he was growing up, it was a problem for him. And into his young adult years, I think a lot of guys, it really becomes part of their life and almost takes it over. So mm-hmm. You got to be careful about that. But like you say, this article made me see the positive side, and I hope our listeners see that. And I mean, listen to that today and have a better understanding, because it's helped me have a better understanding as a parent.
Okay, yes. As with many things, there are pros and cons, right? And so some people play video games too much and it can take over their lives, and that's a negative thing. But in this case, we're talking about how to involve video games in education, which can hopefully make classes more interesting for kids. And so, Ellen, what's your take? Do you think video games are a good idea in general?
Well, I mean, this kind of follows the trend that's been happening in schools already, which is just technology is entering into the classroom. It's just a more innovative way to teach. Video games, I'm not completely sold on them being the best method, but I can see, and we will read more about it, some benefits to having them in the classrooms, making it more interactive for the
All
kids.
Right. And this, to me, is a picture of, you know, sometimes you can fight against something or you can take it in and try to work with it and make it better. A lot of times in life, we have things that, in this case, you might think, oh, video games kind of get it in the way of education. But here, they're taking another approach. They're actually trying to take something that's popular and use it in a good way, so hopefully kids can enjoy their classes and so forth. And so it's an interesting take. We don't know if it's going to work or not. We'll maybe have to wait for a few years to see what comes of this. But let's go ahead and learn more about it. Let's open our magazines. If you have them with you, open them to page number 14, and we will have our first reading for today.
Teaching with video games. The future of education includes video games in the classrooms. A lot of modern students spend as much time playing video games as they do attending school, according to research by the University of Indiana. Some may view that as a shocking affirmation that video games are eroding the education of an entire generation, but the U.S. Department of Education sees it as an opportunity, a chance to reinvent education in a way that makes it more relevant to today's student. A lot of students play on average about 10,000 hours of video games by the time they are graduating high school. That is almost the same amount they are spending in schools, said Eric Martin, the U.S. Department of Education's Games for Learning lead. If you can take that experience and make it feel just as relevant and just as compelling when they're in school learning, and doing something that's interesting and educational, that's that bridging we want to sort of provide.
Okay, so we are talking about the future of education, and here we see in our deck that includes video games in the classrooms, and so a lot of teachers may need to actually learn about video games themselves, right? Maybe teachers aren't playing the video games, but the students are, so they have to maybe go play some video games.
I was thinking of that as soon as I started reading this article. The learning curve for the educators must be quite incredible, because some of them wouldn't have exposure. Not all teachers are fresh out of university by any means, or teacher's college. You might have teachers that are in their, you know, mid to late 50s or older, and this is definitely new to them, especially if it was, you know, they were really against it in their own home, so they didn't have any exposure even that way.
That's right. And I think, of course, teachers are, and for the most part, they're all for games. They want to include games in their classroom. I just think it depends on what it is. Is it helping the students to learn, or is it just helping them to have fun? It's okay to have fun, but it needs to be educational, right? And so I think if they do this the right way, and it actually is very educational, and the students are learning, that would draw teachers in, I would think.
Right, absolutely. I think, you know, any teacher's primary motive or primary goal is for the students to learn. So if the game or activity, so to speak, doesn't actually fulfill that goal, then I think they would have resistance to it. But I think we will learn today that there is a whole industry now that is becoming interested in trying to target and fulfill this need.
Okay. Well, how much time do students actually spend playing video games? We learn about that here at the beginning. It talks about a lot of modern students spend as much time playing video games as they do attending school, Lois, and that puts things in perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really did, Brandon. 10,000 hours of video games by the time they are graduating high school. But it's the next sentence that's shocking, I think. That is almost the same amount they are spending in schools. So if we have that, you've got to think, okay, so the child's in school all day, then they spend how many hours doing the video games? It hit me as a parent, how many times are they one-on-one with a parent once they're out of school, once they're not playing a video game?
Yes, you mean talking?
Yeah, just talking and communicating and, you know, just being a family.
That's a good point. I recently heard some statistics about how much fathers actually spend with their children, and this was focusing just on fathers, not mothers, and it was very surprising. You know, the average was just maybe a few minutes a day, and another stat I heard in America actually was maybe like a total of less than an hour a week. And so there was one stat from Asia, one there, and all of it basically said dads aren't spending a ton of time with their children, not quality time. And I think that's what those stats are showing. And so that's an important point as well. You know, put down the video games and spend time together. Well, as we see that this research is actually from the University of Indiana, and in line 5, we see that some may view that as a shocking affirmation, where they're talking about the amount of time that students play video games. This is a shocking affirmation that video games are eroding the education of an entire generation. Some may see it this way. Now, when we see this word affirmation, what does that mean?
Well, it confirms. It's something about confirming that, you know, this idea or this perception that video games are eroding, which just means to slowly kind of break down or deteriorate something So this idea that it is breaking down the education of this entire age group.
Yeah, when I think of eroding, I think of something in nature, like it's rained years and years, and then the rain kind of erodes the soil, the dirt away. And so here, some people see video games as an attack on education, and it's tearing it down. And but the U.S. Department of Education sees it another way. They see an opportunity, Lois.
Right, they see an opportunity, a chance to reinvent education in a way that makes it more relevant to today's student. And our vocabulary focus has that word relevant, Brandon, and it says related to a subject or to something happening or being discussed. So it's current. It's for today.
Okay, so they want to reinvent education. They want to change the way education is conducted. And so they want to be more relevant. They want to connect with the students. They want to speak their language, and video games is one of their languages.
Right, absolutely. This generation that is in high school now, they probably haven't even grown up without a cell phone or some kind of technology in their life. So their life without those kind of technologies, and here we see video games, is probably minimal.
Well, as Lois mentioned earlier, a lot of students, they actually play on average about 10,000 hours of video games by the time they're graduating high school. And so again, when you see these stats, you may think to tell your kids, stop playing video games, right?
You got to give them an alternative then, though, right?
That's right. That's true. You don't just say stop playing. You give them, encourage them to do something else, right? And so we see that this is almost the same amount that they are spending in schools. And so now the U.S. Department of Education is basically saying, well, they're already playing video games a lot. How can we use that in the classroom? They're used to that, and that would give them incentives, too. I would think as a teacher, you know, you might use that as an incentive for the students to be engaged in the classroom, right? And so we get this information here, this last quote from Eric Martin, who is a part of the U.S. Department of Education. And then he goes on and he explains more and he talks about this experience, Lois.
Right. If you can take that experience, he says, and make it feel just as relevant and just as compelling when they're in school learning and doing something that's interesting and educational, that's that bridging we want to sort of provide.
Okay, so it's a little bit difficult to understand what he's talking about here, but he's basically saying that they want to be relevant. He mentions that here, and they want this to be compelling. If something is compelling, Lois, what does it mean?
Well, if something is compelling, it's forceful or persuasive. You think about it, you'd maybe dwell on it. And you know, Brandon, when I was reading this article, I was just thinking, and he's basically addressing it as well. He wants to address the culture, the youth culture of today, the educational youth and children, child's culture of today. And this is, looking at this really, it reminds us of that.
Right. And here the word compelling also lets us know that they want something that's going to be attractive, something that will be interesting for the students, that will get their attention in the classroom. And we see the word bridging here. They want to kind of bridge these two worlds of education and video games, right, Ellen?
Right, absolutely. So, of course, we know what a bridge is. You know, you go over it to be able to connect two pieces of land. So as Brandon mentioned earlier, bridging in this case, again, is just connecting.
Okay. Well, we are going to talk more about bridging the gap in our next reading for today.
A summit to bridge the gap. In April, the U.S. Department of Education held its first Games for Learning Summit in New York City, a gathering of educational experts, students, teachers, game publishers, and developers. Summit organizers used the event to help break down the barriers that exist between the interests of game developers and needs of educational games. I think the education community is ready to really use technology in innovative ways, said Richard Collada, the Director of Educational Technology at the U.S. Department of Education. But I think we are largely dependent on the people who are building these tools and solutions to provide apps that meet educational needs. Part of the message we are trying to send here is, if you're building and designing games for learning, you have to connect and work with teachers and with school leaders to make sure you are building games that are meeting the needs.
Okay, so here we see that there was a summit held in New York City. First of all, what is a summit? It's a formal meeting, right?
Yeah, it's often kind of, as Brandon mentioned, a formal meeting, but kind of a place where many people gather to come up with interesting ideas or new ideas.
All right, right. So they held this summit to bridge the gap, Lois.
Right, bridge the gap. So there's a gap between the teaching or the educators and what the children and youth are doing.
Okay, and if you're bridging the gap, you're connecting two things. And as I mentioned earlier, the two different worlds we have here, the world of education and video games, they're bringing those together. So in April, the U.S. Department of Education, they held their first summit there in New York City, and it was called the Games for Learning Summit. And who was actually there, Ellen?
Well, it had a variety of people there. It had educational experts, students, teachers, game publishers, and developers.
Okay, so lots of different people there. And that's a good idea, I think, to get everybody there and hear their point of view and maybe come to some sort of, not necessarily an agreement, it's not maybe that formal, but at least get some ideas out there on the table and you can maybe come up with something that works for everyone, right, Laura?
Right, because, you know, 10 years ago, if we had said there's going to be a Games for Learning Summit, probably people would have even laughed at that title because they wouldn't even be able to imagine education and gaming coming together.
That's a good point, yes, but now it's so pervasive, right? It's everywhere, and so it makes sense that they would have this. Okay, well, summit organizers used the event to help break down the barriers that exists between the interests of game developers and the needs of educational games. So there are some barriers, and so they wanted to bring everybody together to break down those barriers, to help people overcome the issues that they have, right? And so that makes sense. It's a good idea. But as we move on, we hear from Richard Collada, and what does he say here, Ellen?
Well, he says, I think the education community is ready to really use technology in innovative ways. So we have used the word innovative a couple of times. It's kind of our topic for today. Innovative just means using new methods or ideas. So he's thinking that the education community is ready to really embrace technology in the classroom.
Okay, and I think this makes sense for younger teachers. We talked about this a bit earlier. Maybe some teachers, they're not accustomed to using video games, and they wouldn't want to do this, but I think some younger teachers, they grew up with video games, and they would want to use them in the classroom.
Right, because they already know that has their students' attention, and they already know the students have probably been using them, hopefully not before age 3, and why wouldn't I incorporate this in my classroom?
All right. So they are looking for innovative ways, and I think teachers are always looking for something to engage the students. You know, if they're growing as a teacher, as an educator, they want to find ways that will help the students to be interested in the class, and so many of them would be open to this. Well, Richard Collada, he is there at the U.S. Department of Education as well, and he continues on. He says, but I think we are largely dependent on the people who are building these tools and solutions to provide apps that meet educational needs. And so what he's saying here is a lot of they're really dependent on the people making the apps, right?
Right, absolutely. Again, this is kind of what we said earlier. You know, there are a lot of video games out there, and there are a lot of needs in the education, market. But whether or not those two actually meet and the video game makers are able to actually focus on the educational needs or educational priorities there is a very different story.
Okay. Well, part of the message we are trying to send here is, if you're building and designing games for learning, you have to connect. And let's just stop there. That's important. Connecting with the students. We've talked about being relevant. And that's the same idea. You want to connect with the students. You don't want to have games that they're not interested in. So it will take, it will be a big effort involved to connect with the students, right?
Exactly. And that's why we also had the word innovative. You're always going to have to be that way with students. They want the newest, the greatest, the latest. And it says you have to connect and work with teachers and with school leaders to make sure you are building games that are meeting the needs.
Right. So here it's not really talking about connecting with the students so much. But in this context, it's talking about connecting with the teachers and the school leaders. But I think the point is you have to connect with everybody involved.
Yeah.
Right?
And right. And in even with reading this article, I'm thinking also the teachers and school leaders also have to convince the parents.
Yes, that's right. Because parents might think they already play video games all the time at home.
Why 10,000 hours.
So that's another point. Maybe a lot of parents and a lot of teachers would think the same way.
Right, absolutely. As a teacher, I'm also thinking, if you have a classroom of 30 students, whether or not teachers will be able to use these technologies or video games in the way that they're intended. Because I have had experiences where, it was a classroom of 30 students, and then you see a teacher kind of have one student go to the computer and play a game or do something, but that maybe wasn't the intention of how it was created, why it was created. So I think some of that, the developers need to really educate these teachers and school leaders on the best way to use them, the most effective way to use them, and, why it would meet the goal that they need.
That's right. And I think if every student, for example, has a tablet or an iPad, then they can all be involved in maybe the same way. But if there's just one computer in the classroom, then it's hard. So it really would depend upon the school, and maybe you would have to kind of phase this in as technology becomes even more part of the classrooms.
Right, right. And you also have to realize, and it reminded me when Ellen was just talking and sharing with us, that each child learns differently too.
Mm.
So for some students, they might really connect to this and it might really work. And to some students, they might actually find it a distraction.
That's a good point.
Just watching, when I was raising my kids, just watching how different they are and how they developed, it's, each person's a little individual.
Sure.
And it might not always be the best.
That's right. And I think of small children, before they even go to school, they're using iPads and so forth to learn already. And so from that age, they're already used to that. And I think there just needs to be some maybe studies conducted to see how effective those games are. Are children actually learning a lot through that? And look at the downside. Are they being distracted as a result of using video games and so forth all of the time? So there needs to be a balance, but maybe it's not such a bad idea to at least incorporate video games. And I think, of course, as Lois mentioned, parents, it's up to parents to say, hey, you play video games at school, don't play as much at home, right? So it's very important for parents to be involved, and we live in a very busy society, so sometimes parents, I'm sure, can overlook that, especially if it's keeping the children quiet, right?
Right, absolutely. I think we are, even our generation is very much a instant gratification type of generation where, we're used to things just having results. And I think, as Brandon mentioned, really is we need to analyze whether or not this is the best solution for the student or for the child. Whether or not, we should incorporate so much of it or not so much of it.
All right. Well, we have had a good discussion today. We have much more to talk about, so we hope that you will come back tomorrow. In the meantime, we hope you will check out our Topic Talks videos. We have QR codes there in our magazine. You can simply scan them with your smart device, or you can go online to watch them at studioclassroom.com. Just check on the advanced section. And while you're there on our website, give us your feedback concerning this article. I'm sure many of you have your own ideas about video games and education and bringing those two worlds together. So please let us know your thoughts. And maybe some of you listening, maybe you're a teacher and you have some thoughts about this as well. So let us know, and even write to us at letters@studioclassroom.com to let us know your thoughts. And we hope you will join us once again tomorrow for day two of our innovation article. Until then, this is Brandon,
Lois,
Ellen,
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.